When Christ died, hanging, bleeding, hemorrhaging, and he said, "It is finished," it meant that nothing else had to be done to complete the work of your salvation. Everything that God could do for you, he did it in Christ. So really, when you pray, "Lord, give me healing, give me peace, give me joy, give me supply," technically that's an incorrect prayer. Because it's already been given. You can't get something you already got. Now, the correct prayer is, "Father, all the garbage that hinders me from receiving, get it out of the way." Whether it's good garbage or bad garbage, whether it's worldly garbage or religious garbage. Because the problem is never on the giving end. It's always on the... So the challenge is never with God. It's with me. So, "Father, any garbage, small or great, that would hinder me from receiving what you have already given in Christ, Father, deliver me today." Wow. Huh? Kind of paints a different picture, does it? On praying to receive gifts that have already been. If the garbage is an attitude, Lucifer wasn't kicked out of heaven for an act. He was kicked out of heaven for an attitude. Whose house is this? Then leave your attitude in your house. Don't bring it here. I feel tonight that somebody is going to receive something supernaturally. Hallelujah. Does anybody have a little garbage? I won't ask if you have a lot of garbage. Joy to be with you tonight. Renee and I are going to do something that we have never done before. 51 years of preaching. Don't look like it. We are going to stay over an extra day just to meet with Pastor Shane and Pam and fellowship with them. I have never done that to anyone, for anyone. We're going to do it tomorrow. Visit with my brother, my sister. I mean, Okay, are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go back to the same text. Is that all right?
Yes.
And then I'm going to go to Matthew 24:34, then Deuteronomy 35, and then on Psalm 78:26, Song of Solomon 4:16, and then Exodus 10:19. Okay, did you catch that? By the way, the older I get, is the better my memory gets. So if you need prayer for your memory, I'm your huckleberry. You all know where that came from. Tombstone. When Doc Holliday told Ringo, I'm here, huckleberry. Ezekiel 37 from verse 1, then Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Thank you. Adam, that was exceptional tonight, buddy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Read, please, with me. Heaven the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down. Sometimes you're going to be set down in some dry situations. Yeah?
Yeah, but the belly, that's not true.
It is. Because God told Elijah to go to a brook that he knew would dry up. So let me tell you, not everywhere you go, abundance follows you. Sometimes things dry up to get you to a higher level. That is something very special. Next. Read. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were what? One, two. Two in the open. Three, they were very descriptive about the valley. I'll tell you why in a little while. Next. Read. Said, Son of Man, can these... Can we try to read together? Read. And he said unto me, Son of Man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know it. That's good, man. Remember what I told you? That's a prophetic cop-out. The prophet should have been answering, yes, they can live. But he didn't believe that out of the dry, dead, bleed, scattered, disaggregated, disjointed valley, that life could come. Even the major prophet that knew the Torah didn't believe it. So my question to you is, do you believe? Do you believe? Huh? Do you believe? Then you shouldn't become anxious about anything. Shouldn't doubt. Shouldn't try to calculate. So now I ask, do you believe? Okay. Next. Read. Prophesy to these bones and say unto them, an important Old Testament revelation that proves a New Testament point. Sometimes prophecy is not a prophet telling you what God said. Sometimes prophecy is what the Word of God says. So technically, anytime Pastor Shane is preaching Sunday morning, he is prophesying. So essentially, the Word of God is equated to prophecy. Why? Because prophecy is two things, foretelling and forthtelling. Prophesy to your family, prophesy to your son, prophesy to your job, prophesy to your body, prophesy to your gift, prophesy to you. Come on, man. The word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Okay, next. Read. I'll cause breath to do what? Not just breathe upon you, enter into you. The difference between the old and the new is that the breath was outside in the old, but within in the new. So your miracle isn't up coming down. Your miracle is in working out. That's why you can't be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues with a shut mouth. Can't come up here and then wonder what you're going to be saying, how are you going to be saying, analyze your English and expect to be filled. When God gave me the revelation on the breath of God, it was really powerful because the breath of God does several things externally. It begins outside. I don't think I have it here. I don't think I brought it. I wish I did. It's called From Trials to Triumph, one of my greatest books. It says this: what you conquer without you is decided by what you conquer within you. So you can't be fleshly and have spiritual breakthrough. You can't sleep with Hagar to produce Isaac. Hagar will only produce Ishmael that will produce a generation of trouble. Oh, that was good. Look at somebody and say, tonight, the breath of God is upon us and within us, and we shall live. Will never get over that. You shall live. I wish I had somebody that believed that right now the Holy Ghost can cause you to live in a way you've never lived before. Anoint you, empower you, embolden you, enrichen you, elevate you, edify you, enlarge your territory. Enlarge your territory, ripen your fruit, mature your calling. Just by this. How many of you need that kind of touch from the Lord tonight? Would you say amen? Can I give you a little testimony? I've been preaching for 51 and a half years. I have more drive, more passion, more desire to preach today than I had 51 years ago. Only breath can do that. Can I tell you something? Tonight, God is going to ripen some fruit in your life. Begin maturing a calling in your life. Begin elevating and edifying you. You will have territorial acquisition. Not because I said it, but because His Word declares it. I prophesy to you tonight that hell can't hold you, the devil can't bind you, the grave can't bury you, the prison can't hold you, and people can't stop you. I declare to you tonight that some of you all, when you leave this building, your gift and your calling is going to explode in a dimension that is going to touch the people that are around you. I wish I had somebody that said, I received that. Just, hey, I wasn't done. I wish I had somebody that would say, I have received that. Just to stand up and shout, I received that. sit down for a moment. Let me tell you. You know the good thing, the great thing about this is that people that are, I'm just going to talk to you for a little while before I preach. Is that all right? I can sleep late tomorrow. When the man was at the pool for 38 years, he said, every time I go to step into the somebody, not some devil, because your greatest hindrance doesn't come from the devil. It comes from people. Can I ask you a question? If you could eliminate what people said about you and what they thought about you, what percentage of your discouragement would be gone? No devil, no demon. Calvary took care of them. Resurrection busted them. Because your biggest problem aren't the devils in front of you, but the people behind you. Israel didn't get scared because of the Red Sea. They got scared because of Pharaoh coming from their yesteryear. Think with me for a minute. Feel with me for a minute. Right here and right now. The Father is saying to you, I will breathe on you tonight. And you will never, ever, ever, ever be full of dry bones. Never. Simply because of one person. He's called the Ruach HaKodesh. Aren't you happy that when God looked at the valley, he didn't evaluate why they were there, how they were there, how long they were there, and who put them there? People do that. They want the logistics. Who's right and who is wrong? You know, people are crazy.
Well, I need to know who right and who wrong, and who done somebody wrong, so.
Jesus was right. You were wrong. He became wrong so you could become right. So tell me about right and wrong. Holy Ghost walked into that valley and just did this. Remember what I told you, Ruach. It means executive energy. It means administrative energy. It means a blast from heaven. It means warlike energy. When he walks into your valley, he's doing war against your dryness and your attack to bring life. And I want to declare to you, thus saith the Lord, you shall live in a dimension you've never lived before. You know why? You know why I can tell you that? Because the Holy Spirit is so infinite, you can't get every dimension in one infilling. So before I preach, I get like this sometimes, you know, the way I am now, just talk. I'm going to preach, don't worry, because the wind is coming. The wind is coming. Sometimes I just get like this where I feel a prophetic exhortation to somebody. So, ma'am, sir, if you are here and you kind of reserved, so you kind of afraid of the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you. You better put that reservation on hold. Because there are times in your life when you are going to go through things and only the breath of God will take you through. Can I tell you one more thing before I pray with you? I just want to pray with you before I preach. Is that all right? Remember when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke in. And everybody heard them in what? In their own language. You know what that means? That means when the Spirit speaks, He speaks in the language of your need. So whatever you need, you get from him when he speaks. You need healing. If you need blessing, you need deliverance, you need hope, you all get it from the same Holy Spirit, because he speaks in the language of your. So I want to do something before I preach. How many of you are ready to live? Number two. How many of you are ready for any attempt of the enemy to bring dryness in any way? And by the way, understand, it is normally brought about by people. At the table, ask her how many times in my life, 47 years we've been married, ask her how many times she's seen me depressed or hurt or overwhelmed by people. Ask her. No, ask her. You are not authorized to hurt me. You can only hurt me if I authorize you. So I declare dryness in any dimension is gone. Life comes into the valley, and the boneyard now becomes an exceeding great army. I want to declare that over somebody's life. I want somebody to say, Brother Bally, I need that in my life. Be it a son. My son is 6'3", 220 pounds of muscle. He's a professional golfer. For golfers here, he averages 320 off the tee. I've seen him drive it 435. Because he has 120 mile swing speed. Every day, he calls me to tell me, I love you, Daddy. If you're here and you're battling with a child that's so touched by the enemy that is bringing dryness into your life, I declare to you, thus saith the Lord, life comes to your child. Life. You do something with me if you are here and you say, Brother Bally, before you preach, I just want that prayer on my life and my family. Whoever you are, just stand right now where you are. And would you pray this prayer with me tonight? Father, thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your everlasting love, for your long suffering. When I deserve justice, you gave me mercy. Tonight, I receive the breath of heaven, the breath of God on my life, my children's life, everything around me. I declare it. I prophesy it. I declare the word of God over it. I do not analyze it. I don't try to figure it out. I speak to it. Can these bones live? Give him a shout of hallelujah. My son lives. My daughter lives. My grandchild lives. My job lives. My heart lives. All right, okay. Okay. Sit down for a minute. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest. I'm just going to quote it because I'm going in a different direction tonight. Matthew 24:34. Hale bokosa.
It is now what?
7:30. Okay, Matthew 24:34. Okay, read. I can show you 8 revelations in the 3 verses before that. 8. About this generation. 8. How many of you would like to hear it? Come to the table. Read that one more time. So the valley of the dry bones is actually a picture of the, in fact, in the scripture, in verse 1 to 14, it says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. All of Israel literally became a boneyard, which means just because you are under covenant doesn't insulate you from becoming dry. Huh? The Bible says 2 things about them. They went their own way and they did their own thing and they profaned the name of the Lord and they became a valley of dry bones. So when you say things like, I'll do what I want, when I want, how I want. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do because I'm the elevated one. When you say, I will do it my way, like at Burger King, what you are doing, and you get charcoal broil, what you are doing is you are profaning the name of God, number one. The next thing is you become dry. The next thing is you become swallowed up by forces of the enemy that absorb you and create the atmosphere of a graveyard. So now you become literally a boneyard in a graveyard. That was the nation. 2,500 years. 2,500 years. The holy people became a boneyard. But you see, the thing about covenant is this. Because you are under covenant, what you have isn't yours. What you have isn't the devil's. What you have is God's. Because you are not owner, you are steward. And because it belongs to God and it's covered by blood. See, what you got to understand.
Here I go.
So, the destroyer is coming into Egypt. He is called Abaddon and Apollyon in the Greek and the Hebrew. After the devil, he's the second baddest. Bad English, good thought. Devil. In the force of the enemy. He's coming into town. He's coming into Egypt. He gonna kill a bunch of people. And I wish I had time to talk to you about that because I preach a series on Passover that's really
good. Watch this.
He comes in. Before he comes in, instruction is given to the holy. Whenever God begins to judge a people, the holy are always informed. Take the blood of a lamb. Huh? Sprinkle it. Now, when I see the blood, I will. Say it again. Now, remember that word. Passover. Passover. You. See, the blood was never for the destroyer. The blood was for God. When I see the blood, I will. The word Passover is the word Pesach. Let me tell you what it means. It means like a mother bird flutters over her nest. So what God is saying is when the destroyer comes, I will come over your house, and this is what I will do. And when the destroyer comes, this is what I will do. I am here to declare to you that the next time the devil comes into your house, don't talk to him. Just do this. He'll know what you mean. This house is covered by the blood. The bend is covered by the blood. Your house is covered by the blood. Your family is covered by the blood. Your son is covered by the blood. Your marriage is covered by the blood. Your job is covered by the blood. And when the destroyer comes and tries to take you, no, great preaching. You are now, you, the blood-covered house. So right now, your Father is over your life. Next time you're under attack, don't talk. Okay, I don't know where that came from, but that is the first time, honey. That's okay. The Valley of the Dry Bones technically was the entire house of Israel, the entire house that was buried, and they were no longer a nation. No longer a nation, scattered around the world. History tells you 104 countries buried them. But the beautiful thing is that on May the 14th, 1948, say that, 104 graves opened up.
Come on. Come on.
Amen. Amen.
104 graves. And 600,000 Jews came home. All because of So is it possible that right here and right now tonight, somebody that has been covered by a bunch of dirt of oppression or dirt of fear or dirt of privation or dirt of inhibition or dirt of prohibition, right now, that is going to be removed by the power of the Almighty God, and somebody is going to come up and rise up and come out and be brought into a place of glory and into a place of power and into a place of resurrection and into a place of life? Do you think that right here and right now God has the power to take some good covenanted soul covered by the blood that has been covered up by stuff and ever felt covered up sometimes? Ever felt buried? Sometimes. Here comes the breath of God. Say, this generation Say it one more time. Now, let me tell you the story about that, because before I get to the wind, I have... before I get to the wind, so much to share, so much to tell you. Okay. Before I get to the wind, watch this. The word generation, you know, there's a 40-year generation, a 51.5-year generation, a 70-year generation, a 120-year generation. This word in the Greek is genea, G-E-N-E-A. It has nothing to do with the time period. The word genea means a group of people that will be alive at a certain time that are targeted for a prophetic breakthrough. A group of people that will be alive that are targeted for a prophetic breakthrough. So you are not getting this breakthrough tonight because you're an apostle or a prophet or a bishop or an evangelist. You are getting this breakthrough, this generational breakthrough, simply because you are alive in a certain time. Is there anybody alive tonight? How many of you are happy that you are alive in this generation, in this time, and in this moment? Would you give him an amen tonight? Not because you have a lot of faith, not because you have a lot of power, not because you are called into ministry, not because you are gifted, not because you are wealthy, but simply because you are right now. You're going to have your breakthrough simply because in this generation. I want to prove something to you, and then I'll go to the winds. Can you believe it? I'm preaching 20 minutes already. I haven't got to the wind. I'm sure trying. Watch. Say generation.
Generation.
Historians were looking through history, not theologians, not preachers, not apostles, not pastors, prophets. Historians were looking through the history of our world to find one year that singularly changed the course of history. You know what year they came up with? Huh? 1948. Now, may I tell you the things that happened in 1948? May I? You gonna write it down? You write everything? Well, show me what you wrote since I've been preaching. Yeah. You can't find it. I know. Nothing. No, watch this. Watch. North Korea and South Korea were divided in 1948. Today, creating the greatest threat to world peace, not Iran, they are nuclear. Huh? They have the fifth largest army in the world, 1 million people. Two, Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated in 1948, leading to Indian independence the next year because the Battle of Armageddon, the armies from the east come through India. Next, Mao Zedong drove the Chinese government out of China into Taiwan, forming the People's Republic of China that is mentioned in Revelation 9, 14 to 16, Revelation 16, 12 to 14, leading the Battle of Armageddon. Next, that's not all, huh? The United Nations was formed in 1948. The World Council of Churches was formed in 1948. Our computer age began in 1948. NATO's treaty was signed in Washington in 1948. Harry Truman was the first to declare that Israel was a nation in 1948. But not only that, Oral Roberts and Billy Graham began their crusades in 1948, changing the landscape of the world. God had the power to change a world because of a word.
Yep.
One word.
That's right. One word.
Generation.
Yes.
Now, if that don't ring your bell, your clanger is gone. Ain't that no light your fire, your woods with?
But God,
can you imagine? Not theologians.
Historians said 1948 changed the world.
If God has the power to change a world because of a word, does God have the greater power to change something in your life or in your family or in your body or in your situation or in your son or in your daughter because of his
word? Somebody shout, Lord, change it.
I prophesy change. I declare prophetically through the word of God, change in your life, in your son, in your child. I don't know why I'm going back to son and child. How many of you are here and you need the Almighty to bring some change? If he could do it for Israel, don't you think he can do it for you? Now, can it begin now? So I want you to hear me carefully because I've got one more thought to give you, one more, and then I go to the wind. So the purpose of the enemy causing your storm to rise is to create fear in you so you will sink. That's what happened to Peter. Peter walked on the water for a while but began to sink when he saw the waves. The purpose of your wave is to create a circumstance so that you can and begin to. So tonight, whatever is causing someone here to sink into a sort of malaise or dead sea, I command that to go in the name of Jesus. I don't command the waves to stop. I command the wind to stop. Because if you talk to the waves and you leave the waves will always come back. But if you talk to the, that's why Jesus never talked to the waves. He talked to the wind. So I'm talking to someone tonight that a feeling of despair or hurt or anguish will never dominate you. It's not that you won't have trouble. Trouble won't have you. Oh, I don't know if you know it. I'm sure preaching good. I want to declare to someone today that the valley of dry bones does not affect me to death because of breath. Because when breath
meets death, death can't win. So I command life out of you. I command that the domination of the wave will not control your life. And you live a life like an elevator. We declare that that is over. Is there somebody that receives that right now? Would you say amen? Father, let them receive that. We will not be dominated by what is around us, because if who is above us is in us, what's around us can't kill us. Say that with me. I will not be dominated by the power of the wave, but I will be controlled by the power of His Word. What was His Word? Go to the other side. He guaranteed arrival before departure. All right. Okay. Boy, I'm getting old. Caught up. Okay. What's my first name? Ever met a Sherlock before? Okay. So, I'm an Indian by descent. One fellow, racist man in church, met me one day and said, "Don't you wish you were white?" I said, "Breaker 1-9. I got some static on this line. Come back." So my response to him was this: "Well, you glorified flesh creature, let me inform you. I see you white people going into tanning booths to look like me." And you end up looking yellow like stretch leather. I said, "Sir, do you see me using Clorox to look like you?" "You must be mad, man." I said that to say this to you. Isn't it amazing what the Holy Ghost can do with nothing? This nothing, 156 trips overseas. American Airlines just sent me a statement of my miles. I've traveled 2.8 million miles on American Airlines. Another million on other airlines. Yeah, this nothing. Because of... So, my first name... I'm Indian. My mother didn't call me Singh or Muhammad or Narayan, she called me Sherlock. She must have known that I would not be infatuated with average. I have to find the deeper things. I'm the only preacher you know that can say what I'm telling you now. My first name is, I rest my case. So, the way my mind thinks is a little different. So now I'm saying, if Israel became a nation in 19, then what is the 1,948th verse in the Bible? 1940. Well, that verse then, if God is the mathematician, we think he is, that verse has to do with what?
Israel? Two? Say it again?
Rebirth? Good. Doing what? Ah, coming into her. Into her land? And possessing her. So, did I just spit on you? That's holy water. So, the 1,948th verse in the Bible has to do with Israel coming back to her land, possessing the land, and becoming a nation, right? Well, let's see, before we go to the wind. Remember, I'm talking about in a valley.
Are you ready? Now, don't read the whole verse.
Go slowly. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5 is the 1,948th verse in the Bible. Look.
Read.
Stop. Better put on your groove right now, bro. Because look what the Lord did. 1948, I'll bring you into your land. Prophetically over your life, God will take you from where you are and from where the enemy has tried to hold you, and he will bring you, and hell will never be able to hold you back, and he will bring you into your land. Now, what does that mean to the Bend? Well, there's 60 acres of property down the road. And tell Pastor Shane I said, the offering Easter Sunday will exceed $250. You know why? Some of you that are saving it for the Antichrist, because let me tell you, if something happens to the stock market, your money means nothing. So you may as well eternally invest it into this kingdom project. Now watch. Watch. That God will bring thee into the land. How many of you are ready to come into your inheritance and your land spiritually? I'm coming to that. Into the land which thy and you shall. I wish I had somebody to declare, I'm going to possess it tonight. I'm going to possess my blessing and possess my inheritance and possess my gift. See, if an inheritance is given to you, it's yours, but only when you possess it, it really becomes yours. Possess your healing, possess your deliverance, possess your breakthrough, possess your vision, possess your dreams, possess your unpossessed possessions, possess them. In this book, beside all the revelation, there are over 25 one-liners that are inspired by the Lord. One of them is,
covenant is God's addition to give you what promise cannot give you by itself. The next point to that is this. Promise points the way. Covenant possesses the promise. I don't just want it by inheritance. I want it by possession. I want to feel it. I want to touch it. I want to know it. I want it to relate to me. I want to know that God has given me. I want to know that the promise pointed to it, but the possession came because I'm under covenant. I'm going to go because I got to come to the wind. And he will stop talking about the people that did you bad. They don't matter. Stop.
My daddy hurt me 30 years ago.
Wake up from your dream that became a nightmare.
Your physical daddy did you bad? How about your heavenly daddy?
Come on, get over it.
People carrying hurt for 20 and 30 years know nothing about the power of... You know why church people sometimes go through that for 30 years? Because they nurse their curse and rehearse their curse so God doesn't disperse their curse. I know some people don't want to hear that.
Because you want to nurse it. You want to protect it.
And... when prophetic fulfillment comes, it's not addition, it's multiplication. But he will multiply you above your
father,
above Abraham. Abraham was their daddy. God is saying, I will multiply them above their, say, fathers.
Father.
How many of you are ready for that kind of multiplication right now?
Yeah.
Would you wave your hands and give him a shout of hallelujah?
Yeah.
All right. Sir, would you go... in Ezekiel 37 to around verse 10.
Would you? Ezekiel 37. Can't believe time is going so quickly.
All right, read quickly, would you? Okay, next verse, please. Next. Okay. Okay, next. All right. Okay, okay. Stop, stop, stop. Go back 4 or 5 verses up earlier where he prophesies. Right. Thank you. Read. So the four winds really has to do with, it is a dimension of the power of the Holy Spirit. What are you saying? Come from the four winds. Breathe on these slain. God created four winds with specific functions. Each of them has an assignment. The winds of God bring things from heaven.
Come on. Come on.
Are you ready? Because from now, for the next 15 minutes, I will be prophesying over this ministry. The north wind. It's the Hebrew word tsapha. T-S-A-P-H-A. Hear what it means. To treasure, to store up a quantity of precious gems. The north wind releases treasure and resource that have been hidden in the darkness when you are in need of supernatural provision for the kingdom of God.
God employs the tzafa. Let me show you. No, I'm not talking about you wanting a car. Yes, God will provide that. I'm not talking about you wanted to go on a cruise. Good luck. Yeah, you be bottled up in a tube for 10 days
with a bunch of people. Not me. I've been on many cruises in my life. Not yet. We will in the millennium.
Song of Solomon, my brother, 4:16. Somebody say the wind is blowing. Say the north wind is coming. Read.
Awake,
who? Read. Stop. Blow on my what? So the garden is already there. I have been planting, I have been nurturing, I have been watering, I have been praising, I have been worshiping, I have been glorifying, I have been giving, I have been adoring him. I have a garden, and the garden is already planted. How many of you have a garden? Wave your hands. How many of you have planted? Even in COVID, you planted. Even when things were crazy, you planted. Even when you didn't have much, you planted.
Look what the north wind does. Look.
Blow upon my that the may, not that fruit may come, but spices are going to flow. Supernatural things are going to come out of my garden when the north wind.
You preachers only talk about money.
Have you heard me mention that word? Well, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to the Dutch Antilles, then to Barbados, then to Trinidad. Then I'm on my way to Singapore, Indonesia, Africa, Ghana. Then on my way back to Germany, Italy, and Holland, London. Before that, to South America, Guyana. Then come back home. So it's technically a world trip. It's 10 nations. Do you think I can go to them and give them my ordination card?
And say, my name is Reverend Sherlock Bailey. Would you accept my revelation, my ordination card for payment?
Do you think that could happen? Because there are times in kingdom. In kingdom operation, when you need the north wind, you need the safar, you need the wind to blow, you need treasure to come, you need things that are hidden to come for kingdom's sake.
Now, why will the spices flow?
Read. What do you think the bend is doing? Building. Planting the garden. Spices are flowing. So when the beloved comes into the house, they will be able to eat of the garden that I have planted. And the spices begin to flow. Look at somebody and tell them, thus saith the Lord. What is hidden is coming forth. Resource, treasure, gems, spices are coming forth. There's some people here tonight. The north wind is blowing on you. The bend the north wind. Two, the south wind. The Hebrew word is teman, T-E-Y-M-A-N. Look what it means. Territory, direction, changing, denoting power and authority and influence. This wind releases territory both physically and spiritually. When the south wind blows, it releases an anointing for acquisition of new territory and expansion of old territory. Can I say that one more time? It's territory, it is direction. It denotes authority. It denotes power. The reason why it denotes authority, because it displaces powers that have claimed illegally, and it enlarges your territory, your direction, your acquisition, and your enlargement. Preachers that are my age have retired. Do I even sound like I am ready to retire? In fact, I can't tell you now, I can't talk about it now, today, but something is about to happen that is dramatically affecting her life and my life in ministry. I did not know when I was preaching this, I was prophesying to myself. How many of you are ready to increase your territory, both physically and spiritually? Would you wave your hands and say amen? Amen. How many of you are ready to acquire new territory? Would you lift your hands and say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Do you think that the south wind is blowing over the bend? The east wind is the Hebrew kadam, Q-A-D-A-M. It brings a shift in position or rank. It brings what was hidden in the back to the forefront. Divine connections and divine disconnection. God uses the east wind to bring the right people into your life and to bring you in front of the right people. It's also an instrument of judgment to scatter. Watch this. I'm enjoying this. Can you tell? Two people said yes, okay. Psalm 78:26. Psalm 78:26. Look at this. Read. Stop. He caused what? So the north wind, the south wind, the east wind are all mentioned in the Bible. Read. To blow in, and by his, he brought the south wind. Can I ask you a question? How many of you are here and you feel a shift in spiritual position? Would you say amen to the Lord? Amen. How many of you are seeing what was hidden in the back is now coming to the front? How many of you have had some divine connections and divine disconnections? When God disconnects you from people, do not reconnect. Because they are only relevant to your past, not your future. All right. Pastor Shane and I have been friends for Adam.
How old are you, son? 30. I met you when you were what? 5. So we've been friends for 25 years. In fact, Adam liked me a lot when he was a child. He did. He'd come and hang around me. I'd like him to hang around me. But for 20 years, Pastor Shane and I didn't talk. Because I went in a totally different direction in ministry, and I lost his number. He lost mine. And Adam began thinking about me a few weeks ago, and I began thinking about them a few weeks ago. So I go to Missouri. You know the Mule State? To a church to preach. I do something I don't normally do. I went out to eat that night with the preacher and some of his people. I don't normally do that, but tonight I will. So we're talking. And now, this pastor is talking about an apostolic movement headed by Don Norden. Now, as he's talking about that, I'm saying inside, that's something I might want to get a hold of. He said, we have several board members, and one of them, his name is Shane Warren. I said, come again, bro? He said, Shane Warren. I said, do me a favor. Get on your phone right now. Call him. I want you to hear his response when he hears that it's me. He calls him. Hey, bro. This is Sherlock. And this was Pastor's response. What? That's how we connect him. Because when the east wind blows, there are divine connections, and God brings the right people into your life and brings you in front of the right people. You are one person away from your breakthrough. So tomorrow, my wife and I won't even deal with this or this. I mean, I don't know why I bring all this stuff. So we are staying over tomorrow for the first time in 51 years just to fellowship with my friend. Now comes the west wind. It's the Hebrew word yom. We say yam. Spelled the same way. YAM. It means to roar, a mighty river, a great sea. The sea in the Bible represents people and nations, turbulent changes within nations. But it also represents a greater depth of revelation where God brings out of the turbulence supernatural resource. Out of the turbulence. Go to Exodus 10:19, please. Read that. Oh, the what? Look what it does. No, you're going too fast. Took away the. Now, what's the locust? 4 insects are typified of an attack of the enemy in your life in the end time. The locust, the caterpillar, the cankerworm, the palmworm. One is the root of the tree. One is the bark of the tree. One is the fruit of the tree. One is the branch of the tree. When they get done, ain't no tree. But God said, I will take away. Which means that the devil eating away at your life, those days are over. Look what he does. He cast them into the. There remaineth not.
Father, let the wind blow tonight. Anybody ready to receive that tonight?
My wife can tell you
that she and I are living that. So will you stand with me? Now I'm going to do something very peculiar. And if there's one of you or 10 of you, the number does not matter. I want somebody that believes right now that Father is shifting by the north wind treasure for the kingdom that will come through you in a supernatural way. And you know that God... Wouldn't it be nice if there are people here that God works in so mightily by the north wind that you never have to borrow a dollar for the project? I feel tonight the north wind blowing. I want somebody that would say, Brother Bally, I believe tonight that God is going to bring me territorial acquisition and territorial expansion in my life and family. Come on this side with me, would you? God's going to begin to enlarge things in my life and my family. Whether it's my job, my business, my spirit, my soul, my life. Come quickly over here. Fill up this area here. Okay. Now, I want somebody else that believes. Brother Bally, I believe that God is putting me before the right people and connecting me supernaturally to come and stand right here. Somebody that believes that right now, out of the turbulence of things around you, God is going to bring knowledge, power, revelation, and resource into your life. Come and stand in the middle here with me. Would you just spend some time with me in the presence of the Almighty? Hallelujah. Breko torobo, breko torobo, breko torobo, breko torobo, breko torobo, Would you together say this with me? Father,
I speak
for the four winds
that
you have created.
We prophesy over them.
Breathe upon us.
Breathe upon our church.
Our pastors.
Whatever you are doing here.
My life.
My family.
My job,
or my business,
breathe,
four winds,
I prophesy,
breathe.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I want you to look at somebody in front of you or behind you and tell them, new dimensions are now opened. New connections are now given. New possession is now in place. New acquisition has come. Give him a shout of hallelujah. Never run on empty.
Thank you, Lord.
Look at somebody and tell them, I feel the wind blowing. That means this week God is going to connect you supernaturally. Relationships that have been fractured by the enemy are going to come back together. The bones came and then became bone of on bone. First of all, divine assembly, then divine order. Okay, let me say one thing to you and then I'm going to ask you to say it. Do you believe that when Christ comes, he's coming back for a week, spiritless, anemic, afraid, running from the devil, hiding in fear, a bunch of do-gooders, waiting for the next bus to heaven? On a low calorie dessert for quitters? Is he coming back for a spirit sought, word taught, blood bought, tithe paying, demon chasing, mountain moving, faith stomping, God exalting, Christ worshiping? Yeah! That's who we are. You used to be a valley of, now you are an exceeding. Be seated. Be seated. Let me make two announcements about some things that, honey, may I have some water so I won't preach a dry message? deliver them, touch them. Was that a prophetic word for the band tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right. Look, I have spent 49 and a half years in research. And you ask my wife, how many hours a day?
8 to 10.
I have a hunger to know. This is the equivalent of a college course. A lady listened to the first message on this today. How was it?
Amazing.
Would you come to the table because you said that? Take anything you want and pay for it. This literally is 3 hours more than is required for a college course. Okay? I just did several new projects. One of them is the mind, the battlefield. To bind the grind in the mind. Well, I thought that was really good. This one is the mark of the beast. I just did this 2 weeks ago. Filled. You can order our book on unlocking the mysteries of the Abrahamic covenant. It comes with a CD and a bookmark. All right. It is not about your family or pedigree. It's about your connection with me. It's not about what surrounds you, but it's about what I will put within you. It's not about your location, but it's about your vocation. All through the book. And the last three chapters gives you all the stats on Israel. Amazing. All right? This book on America got me into Capitol Hill to speak in the congressional dining room. Well, I thought that was impressive. This is on the glory of God. I did something that no author, well, I've never done. I've authored 14 books. Yesterday, I read this book from cover to cover. And while reading it, I said, did you write that? It was so good. This book is on the spirit of a life. Look, there are things out there that are really an encyclopedia of information. This here contains a bunch of that material, and we've discounted it by 1/3 for you. Anyway, it was great to be with you. Tonight was unplanned. I've had a wonderful time. I'm ready to get home. We've been gone for 2 weeks. And I'm ready to get in my own recliner. Strange thing happened the last time we were gone. We were gone for 6 weeks, Renee and I. When I got home and sat in my recliner, this is what I heard. Who are you? My recliner. Who are you? Looking forward to being with Pastor tomorrow. God bless.
Amen. Amen. All right, tell you what we're going to do tonight. Dr. Bally and Renee and Catherine are going to make their way on over to the table. I want to encourage all of you to go over there and get something to sow into yourself with, okay? But also, real quickly, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to take up an offering, a love offering for his ministry. Every penny that we take tonight will go directly to his ministry. And if you didn't come prepared for that, you know the normal ways, online and all. If anything that's made tonight, we will make sure goes directly to him. We've already blessed him. We've already taken care of his expenses and all. And I guess I got to carry him to eat again tonight. But anyway, which I don't mind at all. But anyway, we've taken care of. But tonight is your opportunity to sow into his ministry. You know, it's one thing to sit and hear all the time. Sometimes we need to give back to activate what we've heard. Put your faith into it. So I want to encourage you to do that. Grab the buckets. They're on the inside aisles there. Pass them out. The ushers will come down and get them. Like I said, if you're not prepared, you can do the text. You can do the online. And we still take cash, whatever, okay? So let's give the ushers just a moment to the... get down through there and take those buckets up. Amen. I want to make sure all of you here Wednesday night. Pastor will be here Wednesday night. If he gets to preach, it'll be on the gifts. We'll see what happens. Amen. The way things have been going lately, who knows, right? And that's okay with me. Right? All right, with that said, go in the name of Jesus. Be blessed. Remember, you are the head and not the tail. You're going over. You're not going under. Share the love of Jesus wherever you go. Amen.